Topic tonight is a little bit off parsha. I can't tell you it's the most orderdika topic either. That's what my mind's been thinking about today, so I decided I'll share it with you a little bit. Very close to Chavar, mine was Nifter last night, and the Levias tomorrow morning. Rabbi Yosef Sandberg from White Oak, from the Torah School. And I just went to spend some time with his wife. So obviously the loch is Yolta Nichem Avelim, when a person is still an Oinen. But that's the official Nichem Avelim, but working with the person through the process. So I want to talk about Nichem Avelim a little bit. And I think that there's a lot to think about in the process of Nichem Avelim. My wife had the Sa'ara. If you've ever had the certain crowd, this is they make a shiva call, right? That's a shiva call is basically a social obligation. You have to go and pay your respects, etc. Usually, the conversation talks about everything other but the nechama and the nifter, because you're not comfortable talking about patira, death, etc. That's obviously incorrect. The oval is not really supposed to talk about something other than the velus. Not supposed to be masir dasim the velus. I could have got the loch that says that an oval shouldn't take a child in his lap because it's tesir dasim the velus. Obviously, if a parent has a child, that becomes somewhat difficult, etc. But so we've created the frum version is you tell stories about the nifter. Either the oval says stories about the nifter, or the people which visit say stories about the nifter, which is much better than talking about than anything else. But talking about the new car that they bought, and that's good. It's good. I'll tell you why it's good in a moment. But that's not necessarily always a nichum. The goal is nichum avelim. You want to menachem a person. You want to comfort a person. It's not always necessarily a comfort when you tell them a story. Sometimes it actually might even, make it more difficult. So we thought nichum avelim, you're menachem the oval. What are you supposed to do? Now, regards to telling stories, so one of the thoughts that I to think about is, there's the phrase that we say for nichum avelim is mokim menachem eschem b'sach shal b'lisim shalai. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden in a siddur raises the question: if you're talking to an individual person as opposed to a group, do you use the plural or the singular? Mokim Yenachem Eschem, or should be a Mokim Yenachem Oischor or Oischoch, male or female? He passes. You say in the singular, which would some element of logic to that. That actually I saw in the art scroll. They have a special siddur for the Avelis, Tefillos, or the Beis Oval, etc. And they actually do that. They actually change it to the singular when it's a Yochid. As far as I know, the Minhag Olam is not like that, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And I would suggest that the explanation is the following. The Rambam says in Hilchos Oval that Nichum Avelim is a chesed imachayim vima mesim. It's a chesed for the person who is sitting Shiva, person who's the chai, the oval. It's also chesed with the mace. So the question is, obviously you understand what the chesed is with the chai, and what way is it a chesed for the mace? What's the chesed for the mace? So now, it says this is pshat in the Rambam. I can't tell you it's pshat in the Rambam, but at least the thought, the way I relate to it, the way I understand it, is a pi kabbalah, a pi zoyer, the person after person is nifter, is a tzkuf of din. The person goes through a process of din. And there are many makaris which point out that the din which a person has in Shemayim is decided based on how he's perceived down here. The din in Shemayim is noita based on the perception of the nifter down here. So people's perception about the nifter was that he was positive, and they recognized that there's a significant person who was here, and there was a tremendous loss when he's gone. So his judgment in Shemayim will be based on that, will be a positive judgment. So every person is Menachem Oval, and Menachem Oval properly recognizes the loss which is there, in some way helps the Nifter as well. So Mochi Menachem Eschem, the Eschem is referring to the person who's sitting in the Shiva and to the Neshama of the Nifter. That's the two, that's the plural that's referring to. So you say a story about the person who's Nifter, you say a story about, you know, something that you gain from them, you glean from them, that you learn from them, etc. That is a tremendous schus for the person who is Nifter, and that itself is a nichum for the Nifter, and then hopefully that'll be a nichum for the oval as well, that they know that the fact that people come and care, and etc., is in some way helping their dear one, the one who's Nifter, so that's a nechama for them as well. Rav Huttner has a letter which he writes to Nechama Avelim, and Rav Huttner in the letter he says that, you know, I'm, my mind is groping for words. Now, Rav Huttner wasn't a person who had difficulty finding words. You look at his mechtavim are gorgeous. Just the flowery language, the way he expressed himself, but there was such beauty. And he writes in a letter that my mind is groping for words, and it's flying through the, again, he had his beautiful way of words, it's flying through the Shemaim, trying, you know, groping to find the words to say, and I can find nothing better to say than the words which were given, Hamakim Menachem Eschem, Besar Shem, V'Zivu Shalayim. That was the whole letter. Adkan, the whole letter. See, basically he said Hamakim Menachem Eschem, but he said it in a beautiful way, right? But what he's also saying that there's no words. You know, we think we have to say something. You don't have to say anything. The fact that you came and that you cared, it says something. Matter of fact, sometimes, you know, a person saying, I don't know what to say, I'm acknowledging the difficulty and the pain which is here. That itself is a nechama. You're acknowledging the pain that the person has, the difficulty the person has. I'm acknowledging the loss. That itself is a nechama. That somebody you're empathizing with them. And Mrs. Landesman, Alei Shalom, one time said a lashon to somebody. She said, you know, she says, I love my children and I also like them. It's a great line. Right? We, of course, we love people. They're dear to us. We love them. But some of them, we love them very much. We don't like them. They get my nerves. I love my children very much, but they really get on my nerves. I really don't like the way they act. I love them, but I don't like them. She said to me, no, I love my children. I also like them. You know, there's some people sitting shiva for somebody that they love, and they're not necessarily like. Some people are sitting for somebody that they loved and they also liked. And there's tremendous pain that they lose somebody. This is a person that they shared part of their life with, be a child to a parent, a spouse, be a parent to a child, or Leno, right? That's, you know, it's an integral part of their being, a part of their life. A part of their being has been ripped out of their body. That's what we're talking about. You know, so just, what can you say? There's nothing you can say. Just being there recognizes that. And Hashem lives on, and relationships go on. You know, the relationships change from being a physical relationship to being an emotional relationship, being a spiritual relationship. But the presence of the neshama is not lost. The person still feels the presence of the nifter. And that is a nichum. That is a nichum. That the presence of the nifter will still be there. You still feel that. What you're going to miss is the physical way to act with them, to share with them. But to know deep down that there is a connection still. So the Bereshit created a tremendous chesed called Brahma Zaka Abba. The more uses such a nusach, Brahma Zaka Abba, that a child can do a benefit, a schus for the parents. It means even if the person is nifter, a child can do something for them. So I have to tell you, it's a mind-boggling thing. I think about it, you know, every time I'm in this situation, I think about it. In without the world of the Torah and the Bereshit informing us this, death is total severance. It's totally cut off. You have no way to connect to the person anymore. You have no relationship with them anymore. It's done. The pain of that is mind-boggling. The goyim, they have the different, you know, rituals, different things that they make up to deal with death, etc. It's because, like, it's so challenging. The fact that this is it, this is the end, that they come up with all these crazy things. They come up with something. So you have the ones where, they dress the person up and they have a party. It's a really logical way. We're so happy that you left us. Some people have, they burn things. They do the strangest things. But what are they saying? They're saying that they're in tremendous pain and they don't know what to do. So they make up something. Rashi says, Brahma Zakab, you're still related to him. You're still connected to him. There's a relationship, there's an ongoing relationship. It used to be that it was flowing from him to you, possibly. Now it's you're going from you to him. But it's relationship. You can help him still. Rabbi Miller Zatzal, in his inimitable way, if you ever listen to his shmuzin, he says that a person sitting in his chuppah and shemayim, right, with it wearing his crown, and there's a knock on the gate, special delivery from down below, package of crown of diamonds for your crown, your son's had kaddish this morning. Right? He visualized it. That's what happens. So I have to tell you, I was Menachem Oval somebody recently. I told him over this thing. He says, that visualization. Rabbi, I'm going to keep that with me. It's going to stay with me. He says it's tremendous in the chomer for me. So no, I can still do something. I can still connect. I can still care for him. I can do something for my father. But besides the fact that it's tremendous chesed for the nifter, it's tremendous chesed for the one left behind. That you can still connect. That you can still do. The relationship hasn't ended. Now that can create tremendous pressure on somebody that they feel they have a tremendous responsibility, etc. The person has to understand. I remember when I was sitting shiva for my father, Olam Hasholem, so my circumstances are a little bit unique. My siblings are all not frum. My father wasn't frum. My father was raised anti-frum, anti-religious, and so the concept of mitzvahs, etc., was something which he never really did, etc. So, I felt a tremendous responsibility for my father's neshama. And my rabbi pulled me over to the side. He says, Rabbi Leo, he says, your father has his own schusim. That was, boom, You have to understand that also. Hilchos Avelis is if a person learns Hilchos Avelis. So, they discuss the halachic shayla, what you're allowed to learn during Shiva. So Hilchos Avelus is over 70 simanim long. Now you can't learn it b'iyun because that's right there. The Geshmak and the Pilpul, the Volum, there's what to get it from the Avelus. And there's different dinamis, you can't do that either because that's right there, the simcha of the Limud HaTorah. But just reading through Hilchos Avelus from cover to cover takes a very long time. Right? Every single thing is covered there. And I think it goes back to the Nakuda of that the Rosh Hashanah was saying, listen, my kid, I understand. It's very difficult to deal with death. Human beings don't relate to death very well because, sort of not really the average way to live. Right? You don't deal with it. So, how are you going to deal with death? What are you going to do? You're going to come up with these stupid rituals. Don't worry, I'll tell you exactly what to do. So the Bresham is taking you in his arms and he's hugging you and he's saying, you know what? There is a way, there's a right way to do it. I know you can't figure it out yourself. Don't worry, I'll tell you. And it's very comforting to know that there is a system. It's fascinating that it's referred to by Chazal as Hilchos Masechta Smochus. It's the Masechta of Simcha. Right? Now, some good to be understand it means euphemistically, Lashon Saginor, right? You say, Chazal say a person who's blind, he's full of light. So you say a person who's is an Avelus, he's a Sameach. Right? But the same way that the Baal HaMor says at the beginning of this Pesachim, it's Arla Arba Osir. So Chazal say, you don't want to say darkness and night. Those are you don't start a Masechta with darkness and night. So you start the word with the words Or. And Or means the night before. So somebody, you can't say Sheker because you don't like saying bad words. You can't say Sheker. So at the Baal HaMor, it has to be, there must be the Loch is that your Bedika has to start when it's still light outside. So it means nighttime, but also means light. So smachas can't mean, it really means horrible, death, sadness, but we'll call it happiness. It's sheker. What does it mean? The Barsham is, the Masechta Smachas is the balance. There's no phrase, mitzvah leaves b'simcha tamid, that doesn't exist. That was made up, by whatever, right? But now, But the concept that the person has that there's an element of simcha. Mishilchazov mematin b'simcha. Mishilchazov b'marber b'simcha. It didn't say there's no simcha in Ov. It says mematin b'simcha. But how much simcha is the right amount of simcha to have when you're in a velusa? You need to measure it. Ah, Masechta Smochas will tell you how much to measure. We'll give you the measure of it. The Bershom says, you're not going to figure this out yourself. You can't figure this out yourself. How can a human being figure out what's right and what's wrong when it comes to something which is totally antithetical to the concept of life? Bershom says, I'll give you that. So the Eish Tzachel is going to laugh at the last day. She's not scared at all of the last day. Now, most of us are scared of death. I think it's a pretty natural instinct, right? You might have experienced that, you know, that moment when you're driving, right? You think you're going to have an accident. A few times they have it. It's very, very humbling. It's good to remind you that how vulnerable you are. I was driving on the New Jersey Turnpike North, going this years ago, in the left lane, when I was teaching eighth grade, the first year I was here, and I had, I think, like 10 or 12 eighth graders in my car, my van, and I was doing 75 miles an hour in the left lane. Mashu Kazet, right? Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, you know. And it was a little bit slippery out, it was a little bit rainy, you know, but Brooks and I've had a lot of training, etc. And if you ever had things happen in slow motion, and you have to take a logical thought process, so all of a sudden a fellow makes a left turn from the right lane in front of me. Now we're on the highway going north, right? There's no left turns. But my first thought was like, why is the guy making a left turn from the right lane? That was my first thought process. But I also realized that I have a minivan broadside in front of me, and I have 12 kids in my car, and I'm doing 70 miles an hour, and it's wet outside. And I have X amount of hundreds of feet to solve this problem, right? The person sitting next to me said Shema. And I said, that's nice. He's been saying Shema. I got to figure out how to deal with this problem. That's very nice. I'm here to tell you the story. So something worked out, whatever, okay? Right? But afterwards, I remember, you deal with it, so your training goes in, you don't think anymore, that if you slam the brakes, you can do the exact same stupid thing that he did. But if you're not trained to do that, you're going to slam the brakes. And this is before the world of ABS, for those, one little thing, right? So you tap the brakes lightly, and you find a way to go around, and you slow down, whatever, I don't know, I'm here still. And then I pointed out that one of the... All the boys in McLaren, they wanted a 12th grader to drive the van up to New York. I said, now you understand why not a 12th grader. Because it was like the kids in the back didn't even notice anything. They were both so busy playing on their handheld game, whatever it was. And the guys in the front were like this. And afterwards you finish and your knees go weak. And you say, I just could have died. And it's the scariest thing. So we're not excited about death. Now, I have to tell you, part of the problem is that death has been taken out of life. You go back 100 years ago, in the early 1900s, people didn't die in the hospital. People died at home. And people died all the time. They didn't have antibiotics. They didn't have many cures. And most families lost at least one child to childhood illnesses. The grandmother died in the bed at home, and children were raised that death is real. It's part of life. Part of life is that people die. And they're given a way to relate to it. There's a beautiful, beautiful little booklet that a woman wrote, Stories from Grandpa's Garden. It was written by a woman from Far Rockaway who was diagnosed with Yena Machla, and she was dying. And she had young children, and she was trying to find a way to give her children a way to understand, relate to the world of death. So she wrote a little book with different stories in it, and the theme story was that there was children who had a great grandfather they were very close with, and every day they would visit their grandfather's garden, and he would tell them stories. But meanwhile, every day they would come, and there was a little nest in the garden, and there was eggs in the nest, and there was a mother sitting on the eggs, and every day they would come and listen to grandma's stories about whatever they were about. They would look at the nest, and one day they come in, and the bird is gone, and the shells of the eggs are broken. And the children are very, very sad. And grandfather explains to them, no, the shell was just a shell, and the true bird inside broke out and flew away. And that's the mother's mushal to explain to a child what it means in a shama leaving a body. It's an absolutely gorgeous piece of work. I mean, I cried my way through the whole thing, you know, like, because you hear the pain of a mother trying to find a way to explain to her children what it means that she's going to die. But that's normal. That's Hashem created, put an Hashem inside of us. He takes an Hashem out of us. Like, that's like the most natural thing in the world. But at the same time, dealing with it sounds overwhelming. It sounds impossible. Laughter is when you look at something which is impossible and you still deal with it and it can't be. That's really funny. That's what tzchok is. Tzchok is when something which is impossible, it can't be, still is. The person who can laugh at the day of death means that, you know, how can you deal with death? It's the most negating reality of a human being. And the answer is no, it's not. We're not bodies, we're neshamas. Neshama doesn't die. Neshama just moves somewhere else. But it's so challenging a human being that you need the ability to laugh at the impossible, to understand that what seems to be impossible to deal with is still possible to deal with it. And that's the tzchok, right? We tell an oval, Mokim Menachem Eschem, Meser Shaiva Lissid Mishalayim. So what's this word Nichum mean? So Rashi, at the end of Parshat Bereishis, says, Vayinochem Hashem. Rashi says, Tupshatim. Says, one is that he was comforted, that Baruch Hashem, he didn't make human beings out of the Malachim stuff, material, because then they would last forever. And then look at the mess they made. Imagine what problems they would make if they were made out of malachim material. Baruch Hashem, they're made out of things which you can like wipe away with a marble. So that's the nechama to Kadosh Baruch. He was comforted with that. That's what Mishar Rashi says. All the pshat is lashon of Hashem, as it were, changed his mind. It doesn't really change his mind. You know, like Rashi brings the Chazal, etc. After the Chet Egel, this week's parasha, Vayinochem Hashem al ha'rosh and yibel ha'sestam. The Rashi regretted. Baruch Hashem changed his mind. So I pointed out that the word nichum is the word, and the word avil is the word but, translated but, however, right? So there'll be a family simcha, and you're going to go to this family simcha. It's a beautiful simcha, but somebody's missing. There's always that but. There's always that avil. There's always that but. That's the pain of avilus. That whatever's going to happen from now on, there's going to be somebody missing, something missing. In that picture, in that moment, whatever it is, there's something gone. That's an aval, that's a but. But it also means that the most darkest moment, the most difficult time, there's also an aval, there's also a but. Because he left the legacy behind, he left over, he trains, he taught, and even though he's gone, he's not really gone. He hasn't really, there's still something here. He's added to the simcha in some way. What seems to be a loss, no, there's still a but, there's a but to that also. And nichum is the ability to change the focus from this avol to that avol. You change your thought process from one to the other. That's what nichum is. You're menachem the avol. If you can say it, you know, in the Al Pidrush, right? You change the avol, you change the avol, you change the but. You know, versus the focus on not what was only what was lost, but also what was gained. In other words, you know, there is something still left. There is something which will be able to go on. They'll have the ability to go on. They'll have the ability to move on. And that's the process. That's what you're trying to accomplish. Why are we asking Kadosh Baruch Hu? So, Batsim, there's two nakudas in that, I think. One is to help a person put it in perspective. Klai Yisrael has endured pain beyond what any human being could comprehend, that a human being can comprehend. Like, no nation has such a thing. No nation has lived through what we've lived through. No nation has lived through what we lived through and continues. It continues with strength. There is a nichum, the Avel Yitzir Mishalayim. Avel Yitzir Mishalayim means whatever we have, we always feel that avil, but Yitzir Mishalayim are missing. But we're still able to move on and do and to accomplish. The Rebbe promises that he'll be Menachem, the Avei L'Tzion Yerushalayim. As much as we can connect to the Avei L'Tzion Yerushalayim, we can connect to that, the Rebbe promises we'll be have a Nichum as well. If we were able to connect into the pain of Klal Yisrael and recognize that our pain is part of the pain that the Shekhinah has. The Shekhinah has tremendous pain. The Shekhinah doesn't love doing this. He would love that we should do better. As much as he cares about us, the parent cares about a child, he puts him through the operation because the child needs the operation. Bershom has his cheshbonos. But as much as we know, we have no doubt about that Bershom will be Menachem, he's going to be Menachem us. If we can put this into context of such a situation, Bershom will be Menachem us as well. So there's two nekudas. The nekuda of the guarantee. It's a guarantee. If you're part of that, you'll be menuchim. And also, it's that itself is a nichum. To know that we're part of this nation which is able to continue, and able to deal, and able to overcome, and able to overcome the against seemingly impossible circumstances and odds. That itself is a nichum. The halacha says that if a person is not in the mood of talking, he shouldn't talk. Sometimes a person is not in the mood of talking. Right? Avelis comes in waves. Person, you know, looks like they're doing fine, they're doing wonderful, they're dealing with it, etc. The next day they're a shmata. Any strong emotion, that's what it's like. You know, each day is different. So, you know, something can trigger it. Nothing triggers it. I don't know what triggered it. The person, whatever it is, that's the reality. So one person, the person can be in the mood of talking about it and feel it looks like he's doing great, etc. The next day they're falling apart. Then I'm going to talking. So then your goal is to show that you care just by being there, your presence, your physical presence. I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to distract you. I'm not trying to tell you stories. I just feel with your pain. I'm here to feel your pain. I came here because I feel with your pain and I want to acknowledge your pain. I want to acknowledge your loss. That's it. And you say, Malcolm and Malcolm, and that's it. Every person who can do something which is a schus for the niftar, obviously that's a tremendous nichum. For a novel, that people care enough to take mishnayos, people care enough to give tzedakah, people care enough to come for davening, that people care about them, about the niftar. It's a nichum, you know. I had a loss, somebody noticed. So that itself, it's just, I happen to be, that in general, I do not go for davening. Besides the fact that usually I have other commitments of davening, I found I usually have a better conversation. Davening is very important because the oven needs a minion. It's very important. But sometimes it's a cop-out, you know? Because when you go for a visit not around davening, you have to say something. Go for davening, you know, I went for davening, so I was in Nachum Oval, you know, check. Now, if you're talking, don't know what to say, it's not that's a good idea. Cop-out. Don't go and not know what to say because you don't know what to do. But if you could push yourself a little bit, you know, there is something that I want, that this person touched me in some way, this person affected me in some way, I learned something from this person. I know the person is so important to you, I want to acknowledge your loss, and I just want to say those words, and that's it. Right? Sometimes it's much more effective when you go a specific visit just because I want to be there with you for a few moments and say that, or just be there, even not for davening. Maybe Bidavka, not for davening. Now, my wife said to me, I told her I'm speaking about this, she says, you know, it's not fair. She says, you're a rabbi. And you're walking as a rabbi, so, you know, people walk in as rabbis. He says, oh, rabbi's here to be Menachem Oval, so he can say words of wisdom. And share, like, you know, like, I'm a peer to the person, or I'm a person's older than me. I'm going to explain to them, you know, about Nichum, you know, what the word Oval means. You know, I can't do that. So that's true. She's right. Right? I do have an advantage over that. So maybe the goal is just to be there and try and take one of these thoughts, try and absorb it ourselves, try and feel the person's pain, empathize with that, and come and say, you know what, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I wish I could say more, but I want you to know that I care about your, I feel with you. And you, if you're comfortable saying that. I have to tell you, when I was sitting Shiva, I think one of the greatest nichumim that I got were two things. People came out of town to Menachem Oval. It means they cared enough to travel such distances. And the people who wrote me letters. because they, you know, they're not the one-liners, you know, but the person who sat and thought about what to say. Rabbi Nyman's, the former Manal, the high school, his father was Nifter. So to make a phone call, you know, you get three, how about you get through and you say 3 seconds and there's another distraction, etc. Make a phone call. Travel, I've just been away, I can't get away from Yeshiva, I can't do that, I have other Yeshiva. So I wrote a letter. The letter took me 2 hours to write. It took me 2 hours to write the letter. Because I wanted to write something which I feel it will touch the person. It'll convey in words that I care enough that I recognize his pain, I recognize his loss, I want to share something which I gained, I learned from his father, Zichron LeBracha. His father was a unique, extraordinary individual. Right? And I recognized that, and I gained from that. And I put it on a piece of paper, and I mailed it that day that I got the Basura. Not the last day of Avelis, you know, special delivery. Because I want to tell you, one last thought is, Nichum Avelim doesn't end by the end of the Shiva. The halacha is Nichum Avelim for a parent continues the whole year. The halacha is that you don't greet a novel with Shalom Aleichem, because he's not in a state of peace. You greet him with a Menachem Yenachem Eschem. So you meet somebody who's a novel, 10 months later, the correct reading in halacha is a Menachem Yenachem Eschem Mesar Shev Yisim Yisholayim. That is the correct reading for a novel. Now, we don't know, most people feel like strange doing that. I do strange things, I couldn't care less anyway at this point in my life, you know, as I say, you know, right? There's a year a person is in a state of mourning for her parents. Right? But that also means that if you meet somebody which you know went through it, then either it passed the veil, etc. You know, say, I know you lost your father, I know you lost your mother, your child. And tell me something about him. Tell me something. One of the questions I ask regularly is, your grandchildren are going to grow up and they never knew your father. What are you going to tell them about their grandfather, about your father, that they should know about their Alta Zeta? How are you going to describe it to them? What lesson, one lesson do you want to make sure they should know about their Zeta? Tell me that. So give it a perspective a little bit that they could, you know, this is his legacy. One thing I can carry on, I can hold on to. I would try and be mechazik myself. I try and give over to my family, my children, my grandchildren, etc. And try to say it in those terms. So there's ways of doing it, which even somebody younger says, you know, I never knew your father. Tell me something about your father. So it's not, you know, it's not the stories. Tell me something, what lesson you would like me to know from your father. That's a beautiful way of saying it. You're not telling them what to do. You're saying, you know, I didn't know him. I didn't know your mother. I didn't know your sister, your brother. I didn't know your wife. I didn't know your husband. But I, you know, or maybe I knew him a little bit. Like, what lesson would you like me to know about him? So you give me a person to say that this person left a legacy behind. He left something of value behind. And that's the way to, you know, there's ways of doing it. We give thought to that. What can you do to make the person feel better? Not just to be find a way that you shouldn't be so uncomfortable when you go Menachem Avil, because I understand people are very uncomfortable in Menachem Avil. When I went right now to knock on Mrs. Sandberg's door, I wasn't like, I said, wow, this is going to be so much fun. It's an uncomfortable situation. But from that vantage point, what could I do to try and help them a little better, feel a little better, try to connect what their pain is like? And my first words is, I don't have no words. I have no words. So what it means, a person went through 5 years of illness together. Right? Ups and downs, the hopes and dreams. And I didn't make it. What are the words? What do you say? And then I spent 25 minutes talking to her. but that's the first line. And that was also correct. So there are ways, even when we're younger, we're not, you know, the rabbi, there are ways of trying to acknowledge and understand and empathize and to connect and finding, with some thought beforehand, what can we do? Maybe some of these ideas will resonate with you, if not now, later on in your life, and you'll be able to use them and help other people that they should get to the point when they're in a state of avelus, they're in a state of ovel, and they'll be looking at this way, you'll be able to help them a little bit to look at it that way. You'll be menachem, you'll change, you'll make the avol, the but, so the but of positive as opposed to the but of negative. Bereshim Shabbat Shuzaycha, the Bereshim Shabbat Moicha, Tsar from Klal Yisrael, Bereshim Shabbat Mashiach, should be a state where Klal Yisrael is taka b'simcha tamim.